why is it that you have so many different headings for those churches? I didn't count the number of churches, probably 100, 150. But I know whenever I was a recruiter in the Air Force Reserve, we had the opportunity, we had to. You can't just go out and I can't, if you go to apply for a job and I'm the personnel man, I can't ask you what denomination you believe in. But in the military I could, and it's legal. See, the government can do what they want. And at that point in time, and I got out in 2005, in my regulation, that's what it is really, it was 253 different denominations. Now what's different from one to the other, to the other, to the other? We're all supposed to be in Christ, aren't we? Somewhere along the line, somebody's not teaching something by the Bible. And when I say the Bible, I'm not talking about the NIV, the perversion. I'm talking about the King James Bible. You have so many of these denominations here. I bet if you call them all up and say, what Bible do you use? You're going to get a variety of different Bibles. Well, they don't have the Word of God. They got the Word of Satan. And I don't know. I'm telling you, that's what it is. If you're not using the King James Bible, you've got the Word of Satan in your hand or in your house. And get it out of your house. You don't need it in your house. You don't even need it as a reference. Because if you start reading it as a reference, then that seeps in right here. It's just like some people will go to, I'm talking about a grace believer, supposedly a grace believer. He'll go to a Baptist church or he'll go to assemblies or wherever to help those people out. I think I'll go over there and convert them. No, you're not. They're converting you by you going. Because you know what subliminal is, right? Mm-hmm. It'll just seep in your mind without you even knowing it. So, you just need to be aware of things like this. If we were all teaching the same, it says coming to the what?
Knowledge
of the truth, but in the unity of the faith. There's no unity in those 32 different things, let alone all the churches. Even the Baptist church can't get along with themselves. Even the Southern Baptists can't get along amongst themselves. Now, since Baptist is on my mind, I wanted to tell you this. I told these gals earlier, at the conference, I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but Jerry Lockhart is going to be at the conference. And that's good. And I got in touch with a friend of mine yesterday, and most of you, Joe may know him. He's the only one in here other than my family that knows Wes Adams. Real quick on Wes Adams. He's going to be at the conference. Now, I don't know if he's going to be preaching or not. I don't think I got room for it. But the fact of it is, he's going to be there. And I called him up and he was just thrilled. Wes Adams, I got to tell you this little story. Because it pertains to what I was talking about in here. Wes Adams was raised as a free will Baptist over here south of Geneva in Florida. I can't even remember the name of the little community. And he and I were stationed together in the Air Force. And so he left that Baptist church when he joined the Air Force, and he became an Assembly of God minister. And he could do the heel, man. He could talk it. He wouldn't do it up here. But with me, a one-on-one, he'll just make fun of that because that's what he used to believe. But when they tried to raise that young daughter, a 12-year-old girl out of Tallahassee over here, where Joe was going to church at one time, that did it for him. He got out of the assemblies totally. He said, that's just garbage. That girl's still dead. But he got out of it. So he moved to Dallas, Fort Worth, and he started at the Dallas Theological Seminary. And he graduated he finished his PhD through New Orleans down here. But anyway, he was a Baptist preacher. And so his first day when he came in from Texas, he came into Crestview down here at Duke Field, and I went over there to see him, and I started witnessing to him and talking to him. That first day, I didn't beat around the bush. I said, hey, look, man, let me talk to you about rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, needless to say, he didn't have a clue of what that was. And it took him about 3 or 4 weeks before he would decide to come see Brother Moore preach. And when he did, when he left, he said, I never heard nothing like that. You ain't going to get it in no seminary, man, let me tell you that. And so the next week he brought his wife back. Nobody ever heard that. Next week he brought his daughter. And then he called me up and he says, hey, about, can you get Brother Moore to come over here to my house and let me ask him some questions? I said, sure. So me and EC traipsed over there and we eat supper. And after that, I believe I watched both people get saved, him and his wife both. Now, if it wasn't salvation, EC and I talked about it, he believed it too. It was an awakening to what reality was in rightly dividing the word truth. And so he had an opportunity over there at his home church to take a job. While he was on active duty on Sunday, he had an opportunity to preach. They said, look, would you take over this job over here? It's, you grew up this Baptist church. And he asked me about it, what do you think? And I said, well, if you can't preach rightly dividing, you don't need to take it. So he goes to them and he says, okay, I will take it as long as I can use the King James Bible. Because they didn't care. They just had a guy that came in there who was using the NIV. And they got rid of him, but not for that reason, for another reason. But in the interim, before he took the job, he calls me up. Because EC and I were best friends. He said, you think Brother Moore will ordain me? Now, he's already ordained as a Baptist minister through Dallas. I said, I don't know. I mean, that's something you don't know. If he'll ordain you, I don't know if you'll... So I told EC, and he said, let's put him through the thing. And I joke, he may have been there that night. It was a Wednesday night. We had Percy Peters and Clint Morgan and EC sitting there. And the whole congregation was looking at this. And EC got up there and preached the best message I'd ever heard. Well, I'm telling you, he laid it on you. He said, if you're not called to do this, he was talking to anybody out there. If you're not called to be in the pulpit, he said, get you another job. Everybody is not who wants to do this, who has an idea of how glamorous it is, supposedly, to be the pastor and stand in front of people and talk and so forth. And, you know, a lot of times people put you on a pedestal in a denominational church. Oh, this is glorious. Well, look at this guy. You know, he's self-righteous then. He's vanity. So EC just preached so hard, and he said, if you can get out of being a minister, you need to do it right now. Just back off and leave. And it was about 45 minutes he talked. And then they started asking questions, Clint and Percy Peters out of Mobile. And, of course, EC did. And they drilled him. Really. And so Nolan Butler was there, too. He got ordained that same night. And so Wes became a grace minister with a Dallas theological degree. Okay? And that's kind of strange. So he took the job over at that church north of, south of Geneva in Florida. And he started preaching Sunday mornings. He taught two classes on Sunday mornings. One on Sunday night and one on Wednesday night. And he's teaching rightly dividing the word of truth. And then about 3 months later, he calls me up. He said, look, you think Brother Moore will come over here and teach for 3 days? I said, I don't know. So I asked EC, and we packed up, me and Carol. Trish came in from Biloxi, and we went all over there. Bernice went. And he actually, Clint went over, him and Lynn. And that was a Friday. He taught Friday night. He taught Saturday. And he taught Sunday morning. And the reason he wanted, my friend Wes, wanted Brother Moore to come over and teach it because he wasn't having any kind of results. And he said, I've been teaching rightly dividing the word of truth, but nobody seems to know what it is. They're not getting it. Now, he knew what he was doing. And so we went over there, and Brother Moore, I'll never forget it, we were walking down, he had just finished up, and they had fixed a fabulous, you know, dinners on the ground. In a separate building. We were walking down the aisle here, and Brother Moore asked this lady, she must have been about 73, said, hey, ma'am, are you saved? She said, I've been coming here all my life. No, ma'am, that's not what I asked. Are you saved? My grandmother brought me here since I was a child. No, ma'am, that's not what I'm asking. She ain't heard a word he said. This is why we preach the gospel every time. If you do not tell the gospel message in your service, you've wasted God's time, my time, your time. That's what EC said, and that's what I believe. I make it a point. A lot of times, most of the time, I'll start off up front so I won't forget it. But That's what happened. They weren't listening to Brother Adams at all. They just went because traditionally they'd always been there since they were kids. It was a social thing. They go in there and they see their fellow people that grew up in the communities, those kind of things. And then Wes built a beautiful home over there pretty close to the church. And then after a couple years, he retired from the Air Force. And he now is where I'm trying to get to this story, is the evolution of it all. And he is now a minister in a Southern Baptist church called Bethlehem Baptist in Bonifay, Florida. Do you hear what I said? In a Southern Baptist church preaching rightly, dividing the word of truth. That's just unbelievable. I said, man, they let you do that? He said, we're not independent from them, but in other words, they don't tell me what I preach. I guess he's doing a good job over there, or they wouldn't let him continue. But that goes totally against the Southern Baptist Association. There is no doubt about it. Now, all of this. And is to show you that these denominations, there is not a denomination mentioned in the Scriptures. How did they come up with it? Men's tradition, men's doctrine. I heard Megan. What's her Megan? What's that girl on Fox?
Megan Kelly.
Fabulous reporter. She's Catholic. I'm going to be honest with you. That changed my mind about her. I can't help it. Because I heard her say this out of her mouth. She said, Jesus appointed Peter as the first pope. That's the quote. He did. Where's that in my Bible at? I didn't see that. That was an emphatic statement she made. Millions of people watch her. And when you've got that kind of status, you've got credibility. How many people sat there and believed her? They're not going to go to the Scripture and read it and find out that's not true. Oh, and by the way, we got that new pope, huh? Could that be the false prophet?
He's a Jesuit. He's on his way.
Yes, he is.
He can stop.
I believe this is the last one, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
So, with that in mind, you know what that is? You've seen it before. Christ crucified. He was buried. It was resurrected for your justification. He cleared you of all sins. He paid for them all. Not a one left undone. Your past, your present, and your future sins have all been paid for. So why are you asking for forgiveness when you go to bed at night? Do you not believe what he did right here?
Right.
If you're asking for forgiveness, but whenever you go the end of the day or whenever you do it, you never, and I'm going to emphasize it, you have yet to trust the finished blood and the finished work on Calvary.
Amen. We were watching Fox before we left to come here today, and they talked about the Pope and how he was telling people to ask God to forgive them of their sins. That shows the Pope's not even saved. And that's Catholic doctrine right there. So people ask God to save you, Catholicism.
You know, the Bible tells you, call no man father.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got this so-called holy father. What was his name? Benedict? The one prior to this one?
Yeah, Benedict was one prior.
Now, I guess he's forgiving sins of all the cardinals and the bishops and the fathers, who in turn forgive all of their congregations of their sins. You mean to tell me they can do that? Are they sinless? How can you forgive someone if you're a sinner? Born a sinner. Jesus Christ was the just. He was sinless when he was born. You can't. Now you've got two popes alive. Is this new pope going to forgive that other pope since he's no longer the pope? I guarantee you, they're both going to die. We're all going to die or be translated at the rapture, the gathering out to meet the Lord in the air. So, with that in mind, anybody, I mean, you ain't got to know anything about the Scriptures much to know Catholicism is a lie. I mean, really, it is. Well, you're being harsh, Byron, on these Catholics. Oh, yeah, I am. Because I know where they're going. And I don't want them to go to hell. That's where they're headed. And not only that, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Lutherans, you name it. Anybody who has not trusted that all of their sins and sin has been paid for. Do not, I'm going to tell you, if you're asking for forgiveness, you just ain't been saved.
Yep.
Amen. Yes, ma'am.
All of our life, we've been taught that we have to ask for forgiveness until I was under your teaching. And so now I've changed my way in my prayer at night. I say, instead of, oh Lord, if I've done anything, do you please forgive me? I say, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins. Now I thank him instead of fearfully.
Amen.
Absolutely. Now see, here's the thing.
That's a difference.
That is the difference. I was going to talk about position again today, but we'll do that next week. But your position, if you're saved in here, your position is in Christ, but not your condition.
Right.
Your conditions, your everyday walking around life. Even Paul couldn't do it. The greatest apostle who got direct revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Savior himself, couldn't do it. He said, what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, that's what I want to do.
And by the way, neither could Peter or the Jews when they were his chosen people. What makes us think that we can do it?
That's true. It's a good point. They were his chosen people and will be again at the Valley of Jezreel in Hosea. Yes, Richard?
You know, what's really interesting is that just about all your churches, that they all feel like you have to ask for forgiveness because they all go back to Peter, which means that they're really Catholics. And that's what's really sad. And what's so hard, really, unless you really understand rather dividing the word of truth, you see where the other apostles asked for forgiveness. You know, the Apostle John. He's the one that wrote 1 John 1:9. If you confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And until you learn to rightly divide the word of truth, you're going to be a Catholic. You're going to be confessing your sins. You're going to be doing all that crazy stuff. And so I think it's really, I mean, absolutely vital that we present the message that Paul preached.
You know what Faye was talking about is an absolute true fact. I've done it. I mean, I've done that. Forgive me of my sins.
Yeah.
Last thing on your breath for you. When you're laying down was my prayer at my last,
See, once you're sealed, we may cover this in the next service. Once you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
You can't lose it if you tried.
Absolutely not.
Because it says in Romans 5:20, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You can't sin enough to mess up grace. You just can't. But I will tell you this. Your position is in Christ and it's 100% righteousness of God placed upon your account. But your everyday walking around is what you need to say to you. Father, I'm not in your will today. And I just hate that. But you ain't got to ask for forgiveness for it. You can say, I know I'm out of the will. Because you are on a daily basis. So go at it from that approach. I'm out of your will, Father, but I want to do better tomorrow. And guess what tomorrow's going to bring? You're going to stumble and fall again. That's what grace is about. You can't work for it. It's a gift of God. My gosh. You know, if you could work for it, then you could boast that you had something to do with your salvation. And you ain't got nothing to do with your salvation. Yes, ma'am.
I know y'all getting tired of it.
No, NJ.
No.
I was in the church, and Pat's known me a long time. We lived in the same community. And she'll be the first to tell you I was the first there at a dais, bringing food in, thinking I was working my way to heaven, knocking on the doors, inviting people to church, driving a church bus, and out of my righteous nose, looking down, thinking I'm getting there. And God showed me through the teaching. Amen. That don't get it. That ain't getting you nowhere. You're worse off than they are. Did I not tell you that?
Told me that.
Say you're worse off than the one you're trying to get there because you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Amen.
And I done been there.
Right.
Anybody been there? I've done been there. I mean, I got chills because I can identify with exactly what she said. Richard, you been there?
Been there, done that.
Thought I was doing it right.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm a good guy. Yeah.
I'm not as bad as her.
Oh, yeah?
No, really, I'm worse.
Amen.
I mean, but I didn't know it at the time.
Right.
But when we go through the process of really learning how to rightly divide the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation, away from the other gospels, the Bible just opens itself up and it shows you prophecy. It shows you what's mystery. It is just a gracious thing. And then you can start seeing all the different good news to different people in different dispensations. And we're in a dispensation of the grace of God. And, yes, Jim?
I know Revelation chapter 5 pretty much nails it.
Yes.
It pretty much nails it. I don't think.
It does.
Nobody was found worthy. But one. Nobody. Just one.
To open the book.
To open the book. Nobody. E.C. Moore wouldn't even dump up there.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He's bad for the bone was bad.
And but by the way, since you brought that one thing up, I'm going to close on this one thing. We're not in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right.
By the way. No, I know you didn't, but I just had the urge to say that. Because we're not. People out there preaching that we're in the Lamb's Book of Life. Uh-uh. No, we're not. Where am I at when that book is opened up? I'm with Jesus. I've done been to the judgment seat of Christ. I'm in Christ. I've been raptured out of here. Yes, sir, Joe?
If you're in that book, you can be taken out.
Yes, you can, and that's why I know we're sealed and we cannot. Ananias and Sapphira got taken out of that book. Right. Let's take a break, guys, and we'll come back.
Yeah. All right.